This is OMS Voices and Amos Podcast. I'm Bill Klaproth, oral and maxillofacial surgeon. Dr. Artem Kurtansky explores the differences between genioplasty, alloplastics, and fillers for chin enhancement. Discussions include the benefits, risks, and ideal candidates for each procedure, helping patients make an informed decision on the best option for achieving their desired facial profile. Dr. Kurtansky, welcome.
Hey, Bill, it's great to see you.
You too. Thanks for stopping by the podcast booth. We appreciate it. So, Dr. Kurtansky, can we start off with you explaining to us the main differences between genioplasty, alloplastics, and chin fillers in terms of procedure and outcomes?
So, genioplasty is a surgical procedure where you're cutting the bone and moving it. An alloplastic implant is a procedure where you're typically augmenting by adding silicone to advance the jaw. Chin fillers are injectables that you use to typically add volume as well. The critical difference with a genioplasty is you can do a reduction, meaning bringing the jaw back or forward.
Okay, so those are the three main options. Very interesting. So when it comes to these three, what factors should patients consider when deciding between genioplasty, alloplastics, and fillers for chin enhancements?
Chin fillers are typically a starting point for patients that want to have changes to their chin. It's a reversible procedure, and it's a non-surgical procedure with lower risk.
So that's the injectable. The filler is the injectable. So you're giving the chin more body or depth or bringing it out for aesthetic purposes.
Okay. Exactly. Okay. Sometimes it's used after surgical procedures to correct minor deficiencies or little areas that are missing volume. You can inject a small amount and have a better contour.
So if you do corrective jaw surgery where you move the jaw back, you might want to inject to move the chin forward to where it was before, even though the jaw has been moved back?
Not necessarily.
Okay. See, that's why we interview.
Right.
That's why we ask questions.
Yeah. Typically, if you brought the jaw back and you noticed a small area that there was a divot, let's say, you can use a small amount of filler to correct that. And there's various fillers that you can use.
Got it.
That practitioner uses, but that would be, you can use it for small corrections. And if you use a large volume of filler, you can actually use it to augment the chin and add volume.
Okay.
The nice thing about genioplasty is, yes, you can do a reduction, meaning you can reduce bone or bring the chin back and plate it if somebody has a very strong chin, which is less common. Usually we're advancing the chin, but that's an option.
Okay. And then what about the alloplastics?
So the alloplastic implant now is becoming more and more popular. For two reasons. One, they're now customizable. You can get a 3D CAT scan of your face and have a custom silicone implant. They're similar to what a breast implant would feel like, but they're solid in their structure. And it's also technically a reversible procedure because instead of cutting the jaw, you're placing the silicone on your chin, typically either suturing it to what's called a periosteum on your bone or screwing it on, depending on the surgeon's preference. But that can be removed. So if a patient felt like it was too much or they didn't like how it looked or years down the line, if they really wanted to be removed, it could always be removed.
So with alloplastics and fillers, those are removable, where genioplastics, that's more of a permanent solution?
It's more of a permanent solution that has plates and screws. There's always options afterwards. You would need additional surgery to correct it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's really important. So what are the factors then when someone comes to you? What is the indication for one over the other? How do you decide or help the patient through that? What's that process like?
So patient selection is critical and listening to your patient, trying to hear what bothers them. If it's something small that they're saying, well, I don't like this part of my, then you would consider filler. Or a younger patient who's not sure that they want to go through surgery and the risks of surgery, then you can talk about that as an option. For patients that need significant volume, using filler, you would need a large amount of it, and it's expensive as well. So it might not be the option, maybe doing the silicone option. With the silicone implant, it can be inserted through the mouth, incision only through the mouth, or underneath the chin. Genioplasty is typically done usually just within the mouth incision. And there's, things that we would discuss in terms of risks and benefits of that as well.
And sometimes there's corrective jaw surgery as well that has to take place too. So that will be a determining factor as well?
Definitely, definitely. I've seen cases where patients have a cant in their maxilla and on their facial profile, it looks like their chin is off and their jaw structure. So sometimes these patients end up getting genioplasties, but that might not have been the best option. If they had orthognathic jaw corrective surgery to reposition their maxilla, that would have shifted their jaw and put their chin in the right position. So when I see those patients, then they've had a genioplasty, then I discuss, well, maybe orthognathic surgery is the next step, and then we have to reduce the chin or do, you know, additional procedures at that time.
So what is a cant?
So a cant is when your teeth are typically in one plane, and a cant is if your teeth are on an angle,
okay,
basically, when I'm looking at you. So one side is lower than the other.
Okay.
In layman's terms, that's kind of the best way.
So my upper teeth might be straight, but my lower teeth, there's a cant,
yeah,
there's an angle to it.
The teeth follow the jaw structure. So the jaw is actually the reason why the teeth are in a cant. So you can have more bone on one side, let's say, than the other, and then the teeth end up being up. But the way our teeth function, we tend to have contacts everywhere.
Right.
So.
Okay. And then having a cant then would also misalign the chin.
Yes.
Where someone would say, hey, fix my chin. And you're like, well, there's more than just fixing your chin. There's a jaw issue.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you have to evaluate the whole patient. And sometimes educating the patient, you know, is really critical.
So let's talk about the potential risks and complications associated with each procedure. How can patients mitigate these risks?
All right. So risks for genioplasty, having an incision inside the mouth, there's nerves that come out on the side or jaw out of the mental foramen that give sensation to your lip, gums, and chin on each side. Those are at risk of being injured. There's tooth roots on the bottom of our teeth that are in the front of our jaw. When you're cutting, those are at risk of being issued. And how to mitigate those risks is you want to have an experienced surgeon. Typically, you want a surgeon that currently today, the common practice is using 3D scans and where they have guides to make exact incisions and cuts to reduce those risks. With alloplastic implants, there are similar risks. Typically, those in my practice are actually done with a small incision underneath the chin and you dissect basically onto the bone and stretch those nerves. So they are at risk, but less risk of injuring the teeth because you're not cutting the bone. Sometimes you're putting screws. There's always risks of infection, bleeding, swelling, all standard risks of any surgery. With fillers, the risks are lumps and bumps, having an allergic reaction, very, very rare chances of skin necrosis in the chin. There's not many reports of that. And again, mitigation of those risks or experience, I think, is a big thing. You know, picking the right surgeon, I think, is the best thing.
So genioplasty would be the most invasive, if you will. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say it's the most invasive in the sense that to correct it would require more advanced procedures and require more surgery.
And then alloplastics, then fillers. It's kind of a stepwise down, if you will, as far as risks, complications, invasiveness.
Yeah, if you're doing your silicone implants through the incision underneath the chin, you're not cutting what's called the mentalis muscles. There's less meticulous, you know, suturing that's involved, less of a dissection. You're not doing as much in that procedure.
So with fillers and alloplastics, is there maintenance involved? Well, maybe not with alloplastics, but with fillers, is that like I have to go in every year to get another injection?
Yeah, so depending on what you're using, they can last several months to a couple of years. I don't think fillers truly go away. You develop collagen and experienced surgeons that have seen patients that hatch in filler and then they do, let's say, silicone implants. You'll actually see that filler when you're placing your implant. But many patients, yes, in the future end up wanting more filler, more advancement. So that does require maintenance.
So you were mentioning 3D scans earlier with advancements in facial aesthetics. Can you tell us how have genioplasty and filler techniques evolved? And are there new options or things on the horizon that patients should be aware of?
Yes. So 3D scans has made the surgery more precise for sure for the surgeon. And we can actually show our patients what this would potentially look like after the surgery is done. The advancements with custom plates and custom silicone implants, meaning on a computer, we can use your CT scan and make it fit exactly onto your bony structure, gives a better result. When you're using a stock implant, there might be some irregularities that might need filler. But with these custom implants, you're getting a more exact result and it's easier for the surgeon to place as well.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So this has been fascinating, Dr. Krutanski. Thank you. Before we wrap up talking about the differences between genioplasty, alloplastics, and fillers, is there anything else you want to add?
I think it's a great procedure for a patient that is indicated and wants a stronger chin. I think today with social media, you're seeing more and more patients are getting chin augmentation, angle augmentation. But going to a professional that really understands the differences between these and what the options are and evaluates the whole face, not just focusing on your chin, will really get you the best result.
Yeah, in our social media and selfie world, you got to have that good chin.
Yep.
You got to have a good chin.
Yes.
And the OMS is the expert in this. This is more than just cosmetic surgery. Having an OMS evaluate you really is the way to go. Is that right?
Yeah, I do believe that because I think looking at your bite and your overall jaw structure, how you function, everything needs to be evaluated, not just the cosmetic part of it. Because sometimes there's, like we discussed, options that jaw surgery that might fix the problem with the chin.
Right. And that's where that patient evaluation comes in.
Exactly.
And that's where the OMS is expert in that.
Yes.
Well, Dr. Krutanski, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Once again, that is Dr. Artem Krutanski. And for more information in the full podcast library, please visit myoms.org. And if you found this podcast interesting, please share it on your social media. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for listening.